Luke chapter number 2 this morning. And we're going to start reading with verse number 4 of Luke chapter 2. I'll give you another few moments to find that there. Luke chapter number 2. And let's all stand as we look at our reading today. Luke chapter number 2, starting with verse number 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want to talk to you today on the song we sang just a few moments ago called Silent Night. Silent Night. There's many beautiful carols we sing during the Christmas season. But there's some wonderful Bible truths that are brought out in the song Silent Night. And as we go through the rest of this Christmas season and we sing that song, I want you to think about some things that God has given to us in this song, Silent Night. Father, thank you now for today. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. The Holy Spirit bless us as we learn this simple truth from your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many beautiful Christmas carols and hymns are there? Well, there's a lot of them. Charles Wesley wrote, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we sing it to the music, written by Felix Mendelssohn. Martin Luther wrote, Away in a Manger, in the words and music. And that's a beautiful song. We sing that today. Isaac Watts wrote, Joy to the World, and music by George F. Handel. A famous Episcopal preacher by the name of Phillips Brooks wrote the words, For O little town of Bethlehem. There are numbers of others that rejoice the hearts and make ready the Christmas time for Christ in our hearts as we sing those songs. One of them is Silent Night, which was a poem written by a Catholic priest by the name of Joseph Moore, pastor of a small Austrian Alps church in a little town called Oldendorf in 1816. On Christmas Eve in 1818, 2 years later, he had been meditating on the wonderful words that he had written about the birth of Christ in this poem. And he took them to the village schoolmaster, an organist by the name of Franz Gruber, who prayerfully put them to music that fits them so well today. And that night, they had a little choir sing it for the very first time. And only a guitar was the accompaniment, since the organ had been broken down. Through the years, the sweet song has drifted out in the world. Now millions of people rejoice as they sing Silent Night. Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. My favorite singer of this just passed away this year and my mind has gone blank. This cold is really getting to me. I apologize. Andy Williams. I love the way Andy Williams sings a song, almost in a prayerful manner, surely in a respectful manner. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. It was some 6 miles south of a little west of Jerusalem on the way towards Hebron. That little town, Bethlehem, was the home of David. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it prophesies that the Savior would be born there. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, that though it be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. So when Caesar of Rome declared that all must go with their families to their ancestral homes to be taxed, Joseph and Mary, his virgin wife, heavy with child, came from Nazareth, nearly 100 miles north of the province of Galilee. And they came to Bethlehem because they were of the house and the lineage of David. And in that little town was many people. It was a crowded town, because the lineage of David had grown so great over the decades and time in which from David's day. And now hundreds of years later, as they go to be taxed in their ancestral home, the city's overflowing. It's crowded. The hotels are filled. The streets are filled. Many times when they would have a hotel, what we call a hotel, and they called them an inn, would be in people's homes, be a multi-dwelling home in which they have rooms for people to stay in. And those would be filled. And then oftentimes you could go to the city and there would be people that would rent rooms. And in America, we did that for a long period of time. They'd rent a room for a few days. And you sit with the family and you'd eat. And you'd have a common bathroom, just like we have in our home today. Many rooms, a number of bedrooms, but one common bathroom. And in our home, we only have one bathroom. And when you have kids in one bathroom, you have a long line. And so people would rent out their rooms. Yet all the inns were filled. All the rentals were filled. There was nowhere from there to go. I can see as Mary and Joseph came that day, tired, weary, come a long way, 100 miles, just so that they could be censused, counted, then taxed. Not a pleasurable experience. They go from place to place looking for a location where they could lodge, and they found none. I don't know, in my mind's eye, this is just in my mind, I see them as they come up to this one last place. And they're tired. And maybe it's getting dark. Maybe her contractions are starting. I don't know. But she's not feeling well. And no woman would at full term traveling 100 miles feel well. And so I see Joseph having a little discussion with maybe a little house out there and that rented some rooms. And they said, we can't find anything anywhere. My wife is expecting any moment now. And they said, listen, we don't have any place either, but I'll tell you what, out back we have a little barn, a shed. We keep the animals back there. If you want, you can go lay down there. It's warm. It's out of the elements. You can make yourself a little place to sleep back there. We won't charge you nothing if you want. So they go back there, and Mary and Joseph together, they make a little comfortable place. Maybe they make a little pallet out of the hay. They spread a little blanket on top of that hay and make a little bed there for Mary to lay down on. And over time, the contractions come and the baby's born. Oh, and they're so excited. That's what happened that day in Bethlehem. Of Joseph, of the house and lineage of David. In that crowded little town called Bethlehem. There was no room for them, and Mary brought forth her first son, Jesus. And that's where we learn the truth that this hymn gives us. Christ is born in a stable. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. It's true, there was no room for them in the inn. Doesn't that seem sad, though, to many people? But no, surely that foretold that the Lord Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. He came to be abused and rejected as well as to save those whom had rejected him. So Jesus was fitly born then in a stable. Since it says in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised." So Jesus came because he wanted to bring comfort to those who were hurting, like those that are hurting in Connecticut this weekend, to those of us that are hurting over lost loved ones that we've had, and those that are just hurting from the rough way that life treats us, and it does treat us rough. Jesus didn't come as a king, live in the lap of luxury. He came as a poor child into a poor working class family, born in a barn, for there was no room for them anywhere else. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, and sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prisons to them that are bound." And so Jesus' whole purpose, part of his purpose, is not just to die on the cross, but to come and comfort people so that we, the common, everyday, ordinary person, would know how wonderful it is to have a Savior, our Christ. So it's suitable then that he came then to be born in a barn, a place of non-notoriety, a place that we have no idea where it even is today. I know that there's a place called the Place of the Nativity or the Church of the Nativity. It was built over a cave. That someone decided that cave is where they were born, but Jesus wasn't born in a cave. It's very simple. He was born in a barn, laid in a manger. And really, nobody knows where that's at. If we did know, you know what we'd do? We'd go worship there and pray there, and we'd honor a spot instead of the one who was born on that spot. So I'm glad that we don't know where it was at. But he came. And then his birth was announced to ignorant shepherds. Not to the places of the mighty, but to the places of the poor. But remember, this is the glad tidings. Jesus came to be born on the cross, and oh, praise the Lord, he was born, but he also was born to die, to take our place. The shepherds heard the words of the angels, "I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which ye shall be to all people." So it's a joyful, happy time we sing about. I love this part. "All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child." I'm glad this song keeps intact the truth that Mary was a virgin. I know that from Scripture. You know that from Scripture. But in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, sometimes I think we forget of the miracle of the birth of Jesus in itself. It wasn't that just a baby was born. It wasn't that just a baby was born in a cradle. It's that a baby was born of a virgin that never has happened and never will happen again. A virgin who knew no man. Miraculously, by God, the seed is placed in her womb. And boom! Now, God is coming in the form of a man. Mary is in sweet peace and joy over her God-given son. This was a God-given child, not a man-made child. This baby sleeps in peace, and he is in God's great care. His heavenly mission is about to begin. Round yon virgin, mother and child. The song says, and Mary, again, is still a virgin. The angel had said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared on them in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take thee Mary thy wife, for which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." A miraculous birth. A miraculous conception. Done for man to be saved. The birth of this of Christ's child then is fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." That word virgin does not mean young woman. What kind of sign would that be? Mm-hmm. Young women have babies all the time. I've heard of a 12-year-old having a baby. That's no miracle. But I'll tell you what is a miracle. When a virgin who's never known a man, when a woman who has never known a man gives birth. Not that the seed is placed there by man in some surgical form. But there is no human intervention. By an intervention of God, the Son of God is born. Oh, here then, Emmanuel, God with us, in human form. Mary is a virgin. And Christ is God in human form, number two. I love the second part of this song. It teaches another Bible truth. The angels announce Christ's birth to the shepherds. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory streams from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing, Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Suddenly the darkness turns bright as day and the heaven is filled with His glory and His honor. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. I'd be shocked too. If suddenly in the middle of the night, everything became bright, and you'd be shocked as well. And suddenly it's as bright as daytime to them out there. And as it was the angel Gabriel who announced to Mary in Galilee 9 months before that she would be the mother of the Savior, I suppose that it was the same angel Gabriel bringing the glad news to the field of shepherds. Not far from Jerusalem, and we suppose in that same field, those shepherds were watching the flocks by night when a wonderful announcement came to them. And the angel said unto them, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and the angel said unto them, Fear not! For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I love that word great. Great joy. Which shall be to all people. Not just to some, not just to the Israelites, not to the Jews, but to all. And Jesus is the Savior of all men. I'm a Gentile. I never have been a Jew. If you're not of Jewish heritage, then you're a Gentile. We're everybody else other than Jews. And it's great news for everybody. Great joy. For shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find him, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. I love those words, a Savior is born. Doesn't say a king who's going to rule over the world is born. Doesn't say a dictator is born. It says a Savior. That's what I need. A Savior. That's what you need. A Savior. I'm a sinner. And by sin, I'm convinced and convicted already. My fate should be hell, for the wages of sin is death. That death is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is called the second death. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. I know that I'm a sinning human being. But I know that I need a Savior. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. And God knew that you and I needed a Savior. For just as I am a sinner, so are you. And we need someone to save us from our fate of hell. And God sent His only Son, born of a virgin that day in Bethlehem, the city of David, the place where the kings come from, of the family and lineage of David, of the family of the king. And there He is, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The announcement doesn't come to the mayor of the city. It doesn't come to the governor of the land. It doesn't come to the king. It comes to the shepherds. Just people out there doing their day-by-day job, just like you and I. I call them regular human beings. And many times, shepherds who keep sheep are considered to be a dirty group of people. Sheep aren't very smart. In fact, sheep are pretty dumb. They're a dumb animal. And they don't know a whole lot. And they have to have a shepherd to oversee them. And the truth is, that's kind of like what we are. We're not very smart. We jump into sin every opportunity we get. Saved or unsaved, we're all guilty of it. we get filthy and dirty and the filth and the stench and the muck and the mire of sin, and we jump in it and we get into it like a bunch of little piggies. And then our shepherd comes and takes us out of it and cleans us up, and what do? We run right back off into the same thing. We're not very smart. We have to have a shepherd who leads us, who guides us, who protects us, who sets up a hedge about us. And that's exactly what a shepherd does. And what was he announced to come to the shepherds? Why? Because he's the great shepherd. And who's he come to? Who are they watching? They're watching the sheep. What does the Bible call us? We're called his sheep. Why? Because we're just as dumb as those dumb sheep are. And we have to have a shepherd. And I'm so glad that God has set up a hedge about us and given us a shepherd as our Savior, Christ the Lord. The angel said, you'd find him in the city there, Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now that does seem like an unusual place to find a newborn baby, doesn't it? And then suddenly, the Bible says, heavenly hosts were filled in the skies, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The shepherds were told that they'd find the baby wrapped in that swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, and so they quickly find him. They believed the story. They were glad to hear what they heard. And their shepherds were glad to see the announcement come to them. So often, we try to give out the gospel message to people and they're not excited about it at all. But I'm glad these shepherds were. Then number three, wise men from afar are altered by the, authorized, or they are directed by a star to seek Jesus. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, led thy light. With the angels, let us sing Alleluia to our King. Christ, the Savior, is born. Christ, the Savior, is born. So the song goes from a Savior is born to Christ, the Savior, is born. Scripture in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. These wise men understood some things that nobody else seemed to understand in Israel on that day. These are wise men. The term wise men reminds us of the wise men or the magi in the book of Daniel. And you'll often hear them as the magi. And these were people from the east. In fact, they were some 500 miles away near an ancient site of Babylon. And we find that they may have come from that area. I know Babylon is not in Iran, but it's what we call modern day Iraq. But it's located very close to Iran, which back then was called Persia. And Persia is where the Magi and the wise men from the world seemed to come from at that time. And so some over 500 miles away these men travel and they say, we've seen a star in the east. Now, be careful. They didn't follow the star traveling all this way. They saw the star in the east and it was a warning or a reminder to them that something special would happen when the star would appear in the sky. Now this was an amazing star. It was a marvelous star. It was a miraculous star. It wasn't a star that the poor people understood to be in the sky on a regular basis. It was something that these intelligent men knew that they were looking for. And when they saw that star, they knew that it would be Christ the king. How did they know that? Well, Daniel talked about it. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 says this, and Daniel had been inspired to write this. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 2.5 weeks, and they shall build again the wall, even in troubled times. And so Daniel was giving them the notification of what was going to look for. So they knew what this time was. They understood that time concept. And they were looking for that star in the sky based upon the numbers that Daniel had set up. And sure enough, they were looking for it and they found it. It reminds me that we need to be looking for the coming of Jesus Christ again. And by the way, it is not on the 21st of December in the year 2012. Amen? Because no man knows the date nor the time. And because of that, the Mayan's calendar ends. Now, people are all fascinated with the Mayans. Oh, they were so smart. And their calendar is done. If they were so smart, then why are they so extinct? If they were that intelligent, then they kind of went out of business, didn't they? Maybe they are wrong about a lot of other things too. And I'm going to guarantee you that on Friday night when I lay down my head on the pillow, I'll wake Saturday morning.
Me too.
Unless the Lord was to take me home personally. The Mayan calendar has no power over the things of God, but Daniel was known as an extreme wise man to these people because he was in captivity in Babylon, and they knew the wisdom of Daniel. And even those many hundreds of years later, these wise men were still looking for what the Scripture had to fulfill. It's interesting, although nearly all the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, certain parts are written in Chaldean, or what's called Celtic. Daniel is included in the Celtic writings. And so God intended the Scriptures that they should be kept in the Chaldean language, so that the people, the wise men in the East who spoke Chaldean, would be able to understand about the coming of the Savior. Isn't God a marvelous God? We're plainly told that these 69 weeks of years from which the time the Jews were to go back to the from captivity till the coming of the Savior. And so they knew what to look for. They knew what the Scripture said. They knew that there'd be a sign that would come. And later, in Jerusalem, thinking about the Savior and the King, they knew that He would be born there under the star. Their scribes and their elders told them, and they kept it alive for decade after decade, for generation after generation. And then they traveled when they saw that star appear. They knew it was the time. They knew that it would lead them to the place. So when they saw the star appearing in the east, they started to travel. They knew enough to the area that Jesus would be born in. They knew that He'd be the Savior over Israel. The scribes and the elders then, they came to Herod and insisted that the Savior must be born in Bethlehem, about 6 miles from the city of David. And now they needed to go find it. But how would they find the location? How would they find the place? Time has passed now. He's no longer the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Time has passed. They had took many days, many weeks, many months to travel that 500-mile period. Back in the Old West, where they used to travel 20 miles a day on horseback. But these people were traveling by foot. It took many days, many weeks, many months, and even years before they made their way to the city of David. But how would they find where the Savior was now? Oh, there comes the star back. And suddenly that star reappears. There it is again. It stops over the house where Jesus is now about 2 years old. And they come, and they see the baby Jesus. And we're told that they opened up their treasures. They brought forth gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, no doubt, because it's a proper tribute to the King. Myrrh, for the suffering our Savior, as picturing the spices for His burial, then the bitter herbs, which would be for the Passover lamb that was to be eaten, and then frankincense, to worship to God, for Christ is God. Oh, these wise men knelt beside the manger in the cradle. I should say they knelt beside the babe of Jesus, now close to 2 years old, bringing Him treasures to the Lord themselves. The wise men came to seeing Him, seeing a star from afar, and brought these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, Herod was troubled about this and wanted to go and kill the holy baby Jesus because he didn't want a king to be raised up over him. So he sent out people to kill those 2 years old and younger. What a tragedy that was that day. But in a time of great tragedy, God always brings great peace and wonderful, wonderful things. And during this time of struggle and tragedy, God brought the Savior, Jesus Christ. When tragedy comes to your life, we need to remember what we learned. We need to remember what we saw. We need to remember what the song is all about. And as we go through the Christmas season, we need to remember that Silent Night song. And as we sing it through this Christmas season, remember what it says. I know as we get farther and farther into the liberal, more and more liberal stages of our country, that we're not allowed to sing the song in public schools much anymore because it tells such a wonderful truth about Jesus Christ, but don't let it die. Keep the truth living that a virgin gave birth to a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That the announcement was made to the shepherds by the angels. The star that appeared in the sky was a specific star miraculously put there by God Himself on that time to be lit just for those few days, which caused the wise men to leave their home. And then when they needed to know exactly where they could find the baby Jesus, boom, it appears again. Because God's power is miraculous. So often at Christmas time we get caught up in all this Christmas buying, Christmas gift giving, and putting up the trees, and the holly, and the decorations, and all those things. And those aren't bad. And as you know, I love the chipmunks singing Christmas carols. Yeah. But what's true is that we not need to forget about the wondrous things that God has done during this time. As He gives us a Savior, Christ the Lord. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. We need to make sure that you've taken Him as your own Savior, that you trust Him for forgiveness of your sins, and that you love Him and that He loves you, and you take Him as your Savior so that He can give you the greatest gift you could ever receive, salvation by grace and faith. Father, we thank You for what we've learned today. Now, Holy Spirit, I